I'm Carol Richardson and I'm a professional organiser. I'm based in the UK. I love to help people to declutter and create more space. In fact, I'm known as the space creator. So sit back and relax as I give you the best of my organising know-how. Let's get started. The month of January can be quite a depressing time for lots and lots of people. We've had Christmas, we've had New Year, we have had an influx of stuff into our homes that actually we really did not have space for. And unless you've decluttered in the run-up to Christmas and New Year, you are inevitably going to find yourself with more than you need. And if you are already struggling for space, then you're in a more difficult position than you were in December. So it's actually really understandable that people feel a little bit low. And it's a cold month, it's a dark month, it's a long time to payday. Lots of things contribute. But you can actually turn this around so your experience is really, really different. Because if you do that declutter in January and then schedule it again to do it not only in the springtime, the summertime, a time that suits you, but also in that run up to the following Christmas, you're going to be way, way ahead of the game. I'm going to give you today some steps that you can take to start that declutter process to make it really, really successful. People often start to do a declutter and get fed up and get overwhelmed and leave it. And then that imprints in their mind a feeling that they can't do it or they don't want to do it. And that makes it much, much harder to get motivated to do it again. So take on board the five steps that I'm going to give you, and it will really, really help you for motivating you to not only start the process this time, to make it successful this time, but also to do it again in the future. Because we all have to declutter periodically. I'm a professional organiser, I have to declutter periodically. It doesn't have to be a massive amount of declutter. In fact, it's better to do it as you go along so that you keep on top of it. But things creep in. That is the way that we live. You know, we're given presents we maybe don't necessarily want, but even if we want them, they add in to the total volume of what's in our home. So let's get started with these five steps so that you can get going, put a date in your diary as to when you're going to do this, and off you will go. Step one is to have a system. You have to have a system. You can wander around and pick things up that are obvious that need to go. That's great. You've already made a good start there. But will you remove all of the clutter that you need to remove? It's highly unlikely, because there are some things that you're keeping that don't necessarily serve you, but you're reluctant to let them go. And I'm going to come on to that a little bit later. But you have to really almost do what I would call a deep dive to get rid of everything at that point in time that really is not serving you any longer. So you can do it in a couple of ways, really. You can either go into a room and collect all of the like-for-like things to start the declutter. So say, for example, you were decluttering your wardrobe. You could pull out everything that you have in your wardrobe, but if you haven't got a massive amount of time, that's not going to help you much. You're going to just end up with a bed full of clothes, and that will depress you, and then they'll end up on the floor, and then, you know, a lot of other decisions have to be made. So you could just pull out the tops. Not only the tops that are in your wardrobe, but the tops that are scattered throughout your home. So they might be in the laundry basket, they might be on the back of a sofa, wherever they are. It's a good idea to collect them all together. And why am I suggesting that? Because you need to see the total volume of what you have. It will help you in your future decision making. Because if you have, let's say you have a preference for pink t-shirts, you really, really like pink t-shirts, that's great. But what you may discover is that you have 20 or more pink t-shirts, they all look pretty similar, slightly different design, but you know, when you're wearing a pink t-shirt, you're wearing a pink t-shirt in the eyes of everybody else in the world. So do you really need 20 pink t-shirts? And when you go shopping next time and you spot another pink t-shirt, you may be going to think twice about buying it. So by collecting together everything in that particular category, then you've had a good idea of volume, and it just helps you with your decision making. So you can collect all the like for like items, that's really good. Or you can choose to declutter a particular room, or to be more realistic, a section of a room. So let's say, for example, your dining room is particularly cluttered. You might want to focus to begin with on the dining room table that, you know, tends to be the dumping ground for lots of random objects. And that's because, you know, people haven't really decided where they live, so they just will put them down on the first available surface. And so your dining room table is no longer functioning as a dining room table. And so you may well find a particular spot that's driving you crazy in that room, and you want to declutter that. Remember, if you're short on time, which most people are, and you don't want to get weary of it and you don't want to get overwhelmed, it's much, much better to choose a smaller portion of something and clear that, and then move on to the next bit before you give yourself way too much to do. So step number one, have a system, decide how you're going to go about this. Step number two is really about making decisions. It's no good sifting and sorting through the clutter that you have and deciding to keep the majority of it. On average, as a professional organiser, when I work hand in hand with people, so that's either face to face or over a video, they will lose about 25% of what they have. Now, when I say lose, I mean redistribute, put elsewhere, take elsewhere. It's not really a loss. It's rationalising what you have. You have got too much stuff, basically. That's why you're doing a declutter. So you're rationalising it. And on average, I would say a good quarter isn't really needed. But sometimes people need somebody by their side to help them make those decisions. As an organiser, I don't say you have to get rid of this. That's not the way that I work. But actually, through a process of us both talking through what they have, it becomes pretty obvious the things that really do need to go. So you have to make those decisions, and you have to think really hard. So what in that pile in front of you do you love, do you use, do you need? And those are the questions that you need to be asking yourself. If you really love something, you don't necessarily want to get rid of it. If you love it and it's a big collection of 1,000 objects, then you might have to reconsider that, but you may not. If you use it regularly, it's useful. And if it's useful, why would you be getting rid of it? So that's good. However, if you've got multiple things of the same design that do the same job, then that's an entirely different thing, and you need to think, well, do I want one or do I want 10 of these things? So, you know, deciding whether you love, use and need what's in front of you is a really good starting point. Some things leap out at you and they're clearly no longer useful, so that's a quick win. Pick up each object, hold it. There is something about that sensation of picking it up and taking ownership of it that helps you make a decision about whether or not you keep it or not. And you will have a gut feeling, that butterfly type feeling in your stomach. Something will give you a sense of whether or not it should stay. You might be resisting that feeling. You might be trying to sort of think about, well, lots of circumstances where you possibly potentially could use it in the future. So be aware of that too. You get that initial feeling of, I don't think I really need this anymore. And then your brain will start to say, yeah, but what if? Those what ifs slow you down. If it's something that's easily replaced, you haven't used it in the previous year, I would say, do you really need it? And that's the kind of questioning you need to do with yourselves. Step three, you have to make decisions. So I've just alluded to that with picking up and holding objects and not being sure about which way you're going to go. The classic example with this is where you have a little bit of an emotional tie to something. So let's say, for example, it's a piece of clothing that you wore for a special occasion and it brings back to you some great memories, or it's a piece of clothing that somebody bought you and they were very special to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with keeping some sentimental pieces. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. However, if you've got a very deep emotional attachment and you're that kind of personality where you attach a lot of emotion to lots and lots of things that you have in your home, then that might be starting to build up clutter for you. So remember that memories are in your head, not in the object. There are some sentimental things that we keep, and that's absolutely fine. But really, the memories are not in the object. You might want to look at it and it stirs up an emotion, but the memories are in your head, not in that particular object. So when you're making your decisions, you have to think a little bit rationally as well as emotionally. If it's a piece of clothing that you've really enjoyed wearing in the past, it's been, you know, it's, you've always felt good in it, you've always felt comforted in it, whatever that item is and however it makes you feel, that's absolutely fine. Again, if it's a t-shirt that's worn, if it's ripped, if it's, you know, too small or too big because your size and your shape has altered, then you have to think again, am I really ever either going to be able to fit into this or ever be able to wear it because it's in such a state of disrepair? You know, you then start to sort of think, why am I holding on to this? And it helps you to make your decisions. So decide that you're going to really drill down so that you know why you're keeping what you're keeping, and you've made a logical decision about it. Step four is to stick to your guns. So once you've made the decision about what you keep or what you let go, then it's a good idea to stick to that decision. So the things that you keep obviously are things that you've already decided are good for you. That's absolutely fine. The things that are going might be in 10 or 20 black bin liners, and they're all there waiting to go. Our human nature is that we doubt ourselves, so we make a decision and then we backtrack very often and we think, was it the right decision? Is it the right thing to do? So because we backtrack on it, if you keep those black bin liners, I guarantee you'll dive back in at some stage and retrieve some things. And because you've started to doubt yourself, you will pull out things and you're back with more clutter again. Once you've made your decision, I would suggest that what you do is put those bags where they're heading out of the home. So it might be by a door. Even better, if you're going to be taking them away yourself, put them in the car. It will drive you crazy when your car is full of these black bags, and you will go quite quickly and take them away. And that's really the best approach, because they're gone then. You know, very few things object wise are irreplaceable and not necessarily hugely expensive to replace. If you haven't used it for a year and you've decided it's going, you know, if in a week's time when you've got rid of it, you find a circumstance in which you could have used it, look at it this way. Probably the only reason you've thought about using it is because you raised your awareness of that particular object a week before when you were doing your declutter. You suddenly remembered or you saw what you had. It probably would never have occurred to you if you hadn't gone through that experience. It's just that you've raised your awareness, that's all. And as I say, most things are not really irreplaceable. But when you're living with a really cluttered environment, it isn't good for any of us to be in that situation. It really is overcrowding. It helps you, it distracts from what you're trying to do on a daily basis. It overwhelms you. So getting rid of it is really good for your mental health and for your focus. Step five, I would like you to be thinking about the good that you do when you donate the things that you've decluttered. So this is part of the process and part of accepting that a declutter process is a good thing. So when you decide to part with the things that you're no longer using, somebody else is going to benefit from that. So if you're giving things to a charity shop, let's say, I've worked in a charity shop. I did a brief stint working for Oxfam in a local charity shop, and I had a completely new perspective on the benefits of a charity shop. I know that they benefit the people who the charity serves, I know that. But actually what I also saw was the huge, huge benefit to people coming into the shop. And this happened quite frequently, when people found something that they really, really liked at a price that they could afford, they were often really overjoyed with that. And in particular, children coming in, we had baskets of very, very low cost, tiny little toys, the kind of things that kids really, really love. And you could see these children dash to the back of the shop where these trays were and start to rummage through, and they really loved it, and they got such great pleasure from something that probably cost, you know, 10 pence, 50 pence, something like that. It was lovely to see. Those had come from somewhere that did no longer needed them. So it's an absolutely fantastic thing to donate and to see the pleasure that it gives to other people. And yes, you've paid money for the things that you're donating, but do you think that way if you're passing by somebody collecting for charity and you put money into a charity box? You don't think, well, I've had to work really hard for this money. You know, you're giving and you're happy to give because it's a charity that you want to give to. So if you change your perspective, then you're much, much happier with the decluttering process that you have done. Now, I hope that that's really helpful to you. I would love you to leave some comments. I would love to know how you are getting on with the decluttering process. If you are struggling, there are other options to get in touch with me, and I can do a much more hands-on helping service for you. But for now, this podcast is here for you to use, for you to play over and over again. And I hope that it really helps you in the decluttering process, and that you find that success that you're looking for. Thank you for listening.